Hi, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's begin with a prayer that I've prayed for many people many times. It's a great prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. We pray, O Father, that you may fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all power according to your glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to you, Father, who have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Shall we go back into John chapter 16? We've been talking about the Helper. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And so by this time, okay, we've heard about this person. What is he going to do? And Jesus begins in verse 8 of chapter 16, talking about three tasks that the Holy Spirit will do. He continues to do these things today. Beginning in verses 8 to 11, the first task the Holy Spirit does is he convicts unbelievers. Let's pick this up in verse 8 where he says, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This idea of convict means that he will expose sin and guilt. He's going to act like a prosecuting attorney. Those of you who are of an older generation probably enjoyed Perry Mason in its time and that prosecuting attorney and those episodes. More recently, some of you have enjoyed the show Law and Order, where, again, it's in the law court where it takes place, and you can see some pretty effective prosecuting attorneys. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate prosecuting attorney because he's got all the truth on his side. He knows every single heart, and he comes, and he convicts. He exposes people's sin and guilt, and the reason he's doing it is to bring these people, to call these people to repentance. We can't do this. But the Holy Spirit can and does. And notice the three areas where he convicts, where he exposes the world. It says in verse 9, the first area is sin, concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's being exposed to the sin of unbelief. People's sin remains. Why? Because they haven't believed in Jesus, who died to take away sin. So their sin of unbelief remains. The second area he convicts and exposes is brought out in the next verse concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Now just think about this. The unbelievers of the world, they condemned Jesus. He was the righteous one. And they condemned him and thought they did away with him by crucifying him. But then God vindicated him. He raised him from the dead. And he is now at the right hand of God, and God has vindicated him. And he is the only way to be righteous before God. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that you can have Jesus' righteousness. He's the righteous one who can make you righteous. And so the Spirit of God exposes and convicts people over this reality. And then the last area where he will convict is brought out in verse 11, and concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been judged. The tense of the verb in the Greek tense implies it's settled. The judgment of the ruler of this world, the devil, the evil one, his judgment is settled. He is defeated. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus consistently defeated him through his ministry on earth. But then the defeat, the real big blow came at the cross, where the devil thought he was being victorious. But actually, Jesus was being victorious in sealing the judgment of the devil. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it describes it very effectively in this way. When he, that's Christ, had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, which could be through Christ or through it, through the cross. And the judgment of the devil was sealed at the cross. Now, you want to make sure that you are in the family of God by faith in Christ. Otherwise, that doom of the devil, which is sealed, for you as well. That you are under this world system and under the one who controls this world system. So his doom and the doom of all those who are in this world system is sealed. The truth is, in this unique task that the Holy Spirit can do, we cannot convict people. We cannot save people. We cannot change people. But the Holy Spirit can. And he does. And he does through our efforts as well. So settle that. Give up trying to change people, trying to save people, trying to play the Holy Spirit and convict people. You just be faithful. The Holy Spirit uniquely can do these kind of tasks, but he will work through you as you serve him. The second task that's brought out in these verses is that he guides believers. And that's pointed out in verses 12 and 13. Now, there are a lot of times when we think about guidance and we're thinking about, I've got these two or three things I need to decide. I've got to pick one and I need guidance. And I believe the Holy Spirit gives guidance in those kind of decisions. But I think there's an even more important guidance that he guides us into that's brought out here. And that is that he guides us into all truth. And many times the decisions that we wrestle with in terms of weighing it out and what choice do I make, if we would be guided into more truth, that would help us go a long way in knowing what would be the wisest decision among the options that we have. Think about it from the disciples' angles. They've heard so much. And Jesus has so much more that he wanted to share with them. And he brings that out in verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. I think the wise teacher, she or he realizes the person I'm speaking to and trying to teach, or the audience I'm speaking to, you know how much they can handle. You know how much they can understand. And you certainly might stretch them a little bit, but you don't want to stretch them beyond their capacity to grasp it. And the Lord knows there's a whole bunch more I want to share with you. But I'm not going to right now because you can't understand it. You're not in a state where you can grasp it. So he holds that back. But who will guide into all this truth? The Spirit will. The Spirit of truth. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. For whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. Do you follow what's happening here? The Holy Spirit is imitating Jesus. Because what was Jesus doing in terms of truth when he was ministering here on earth? He wasn't just making things up. It was God the Father who was initiating, and he was following the initiative of the Father in what he taught. That's brought out in chapter 8, verse 28, where Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father has taught me. Now the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. He's privy to a continual communication between God the Father and God the Son. There's this constant communication. And he's hearing things. And he is guiding the followers of Jesus from within here on earth. And this communication that he's hearing from God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is sharing those things. That's why we have a New Testament. The Holy Spirit was guiding the apostles, disclosing what was to come, disclosing all these truths that the apostles couldn't handle at this point in the pep talk. And the Holy Spirit added all those things. He disclosed those truths to the apostles so they could grasp them. That's why we have the New Testament. And of course, we have the whole Bible together. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, wants to take the New Testament, wants to take the Bible, and wants to take us deeper in our grasp and understanding of these truths. I think part of our problem is we are so intimidated by what we don't know that we don't want to jump in and try to learn more things. And it's like the Holy Spirit is just waiting for us to be open to just jump into the Scriptures. And he wants us to guide us into these truths that the Lord has disclosed to us and he has recorded. And he wants to take us deeper into these truths because he knows how bad we need this truth. You remember when you learned to ride a bike? Do you remember when one of your parents taught you how to cook? At first, it was pretty awkward, wasn't it? You fell down. You just couldn't ride very well. But gradually, you got better. Same with cooking. You improved and learned things. To eventually, you became a pretty efficient cook. Or you became so good at a bike, you just do it and don't even think about it. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you in truth, with you in the Bible. He wants to guide you into deeper truths that he knows you need so desperately. And he's there to help you overcome your awkwardness and just take you deeper and deeper. So, wow, I've become more and more comfortable with these things. It's become more second nature in terms of understanding these truths of the Bible and how important that is to the decisions I'm making and the things that I value and the things God wants to lead me on into the future. Well, the third task that the Holy Spirit accomplishes is that he wants to glorify Christ. And that's brought out in verses 14 and 15. And again, what we discover here is the Holy Spirit is imitating what Jesus did when he was here on earth. When Jesus was on earth, he wanted to glorify the Father. He wanted to put the spotlight on God the Father, and that's what he did. You can find numerous verses declaring that in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 18, declares that. And of course, the Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't want the glory to come to himself. He doesn't want the spotlight upon himself. His glory is to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ and glorify Jesus Christ. I've been watching this series called Merlin. And Merlin is drawn from the legendary times of King Arthur. And King Arthur was this legendary king, but the wizard that was behind King Arthur was Merlin. And in this series, there's a number of times when Merlin will save King Arthur. He'll intervene, and he does it in a way that Arthur doesn't know what's going on, and the other people don't know what's going on. And there's a few times that Merlin struggles with wanting more recognition for what he's doing, because he's behind what's happening with Arthur. There is never a time when the Holy Spirit wants the spotlight. His spotlight is to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. And he always wants to glorify Jesus Christ because he realizes that's his task. He doesn't necessarily want the recognition, though it's true. And as God, we should worship the Holy Spirit, but recognize that's his task, to take the spotlight and glorify Jesus Christ. And he does a wonderful job of it. And what's described here is he will glorify Jesus, for he will take of mine, Jesus says in verse 14, and he will disclose it to you. All of these truths, all of the things that are true of Jesus and which Jesus possesses, the Holy Spirit takes of those things and he discloses it from within to the followers of Christ, so that we can share and experience that as well. And we see that within the Trinity, there's no selfishness whatsoever. In verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. And therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So there's this mutual sharing between God the Father and God the Son, where they possess all things together. And the Holy Spirit, as God has constant access to those things as well. So he just takes them, follows the prompting of Jesus the Son and God the Father, and he takes these things and discloses them to us from within us. And there's this wonderful sharing. What a beautiful relationship there is between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And here's an example for the church. He wants the church to relate to one another in this way, where we're like the Holy Spirit, where there is this beautiful harmony in our relationships. We realize we share things together, But certain people will get more glory, and that's okay. Because there's this beautiful harmony by the way we relate to one another. And with it, there's this humility that Christ showed on earth, glorifying the Father. There's this humility that the Holy Spirit continually shows with wanting to draw attention to the things of Jesus. And that's what he wants for his church, where we have this kind of harmony. We have this kind of humility. And what a beautiful thing it is when we experience it. Let's take some time and just ask the Lord for these things to be taking place in our midst. Let's begin by asking the Holy Spirit to convict, to do what he says here, to convict unbelievers, even unbelievers all around us right now, to be convicting them and drawing them to Jesus. Maybe you'll think of specific names. Let's take some time and request that our Homewood family, our church body, would want to be guided deeper into the truth that the Spirit of God wants to guide us into. And we won't be frozen and doing nothing because we're intimidated over what we don't know. And let's ask together that that harmony, that sharing, that humility, which has always existed in the Trinity, that that would be true in our midst as we relate to one another. Beautiful harmony, beautiful humility. Father, we are grateful for the tasks that the Holy Spirit can fulfill. It's dawned on us again that sometimes we've tried to play the Holy Spirit and we can't. And so we welcome the Holy Spirit to expose and bring under conviction people who haven't believed in Jesus yet, but to bring them to repentance. We ask also, Lord, that you would help us as a church body to hunger and thirst after truth and righteousness. And we would want to dive in and experience the truth the Spirit wants to guide us into. And we also ask, Lord, that we know it will be imperfect, but it may it become more and more perfect and less imperfect by the way we as a church body relate with harmony and humility. In the name of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, look forward to being with you on Sunday morning, and I hope that's live in one of our three services. But if you're not comfortable with that, it will be recorded so you can worship in that way as well.